What's good, fam? It's your boy Jorge. Welcome to another episode of Hanging with the Boys. Here today, back in the studio.
Here I am. I got the bat symbol, bat logo in the sky, and I was here in no time.
Yeah, this podcast is like Celine Dion and Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
It must go on.
Yeah, that's right.
My heart must go on.
Okay.
So I guess Mace is booked up to like the second week of May or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, it must be nice.
Saw he was out there with Trump Jr.
Yeah.
Living the dream, I guess.
Yeah, with Trump Jr., other people. And then they did a PGA Memes golf tournament this past weekend, I think. And then I think he has a tournament today. That's why he's not here.
Holy smokes.
And then straight from that, he's going to the airport, going to LA to play like a Trump course there.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff going on.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was going to have Jones on, but he's going to San Diego today, actually, and then stopping by Disneyland on the way back.
Okay.
You know, with his kids and stuff. So yeah. That's, you know, you got to take advantage.
People are doing things. Yeah. Sorry, it's already summertime. Fuck.
Yeah. I was like, wait, spring break for us as far as like kids, we have next week. So I was like, dude, you're going to Disneyland. You're taking your kids out of school to go to, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. But then I was like, oh, well, you're already going to be in San Diego. So on the way back, you're going to head up Disneyland. So it makes sense and stuff.
But, yeah, which is weird. Like my kids had spring break like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I don't even know when college was. I think college was already happened.
Yeah.
Because the whole like banning spring break in Florida and stuff.
Oh, that, right. Yeah.
That was already in the news headlines like a month ago. So.
Right.
Yeah. And then so Jones said he was going to be on the show next week. But then I totally forgot. We're leaving out of town. We're going to Vegas for spring break.
Right.
So no show next week.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just hijack the show for a week.
That's fine with me. Show must go on, like yeah, I said.
That's right.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, hit that like, rate us on Apple Podcasts, follow us on. Did you know that 70% of our listeners on Spotify are females?
I think you said something like that before, and I'm still like, what?
Shout out to all the Spotify listeners, all the females.
Way to go, ladies.
That's because I got Tom Cruise as my co-host.
That's right.
And Mike.
I mean, whatever. And Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Roger, like a grown-up.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
Yeah, he was on the podcast. I was listening last week. I'm like, damn. He's like, because before, you know, you guys had a good time and stuff. But I was like, he's on the march to do something good, you know?
Yeah, I actually think there was a few people that hit me up and they were like, they liked the episode and they were, you know, just, I think people that weren't part of the show from back in the day.
Yeah.
So this is the first time introducing him to the audience now, the new people. And I think a lot of people were like, man, that guy's a good dude. Like that, you know, it's a good episode. I got a good feedback. I had a great time. Like it's just far as like asking questions or something I kind of know a little bit about from other podcasts I listen to, but then just having him on here and just telling his stories and stuff. I had a great time.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a good episode for sure.
So yeah, that was cool. So we should have him back with Mace comes back and get more of his goofy side, kind of like what you remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that should be good. Heavy week on sports.
Yeah.
So we might as well get into
it. Got a couple of things in the back of my mind there.
Yeah. So I want you right now to look at the camera and explain to people why you miss UFC 300.
I have no idea what I was doing. I'm sure it was fantastic. I think I took the wife out. You know, just one of those things a good husband has to do until he sees the aftermath of what he missed. And then he realizes he should have probably postponed that date. Me and the wife had some time without the kids, which doesn't happen nearly as often as I'd like it to be. Last time we went on a date was probably months ago. So I was like, you know what, you know, it's a good opportunity. So we had to take it. And I was sorry to see the $300,000 bonuses made a difference, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know where your priorities are, dude. They're obviously not straight. Like, you don't miss. I mean, I even had doubts on this card when they first announced like kind of everyone that was going in. And then they finally announced the main event. I'm like, oh, it's not like the greatest. And the main event wasn't the greatest, like the main card.
Yeah.
But it did a lot better than I thought. So it was like, dude, I was on TV for like 6 hours.
Really?
Yeah. It was like 6-8 hour show.
Wow.
You know, so I think we got home. We went to Wingstop, got some stuff to from Wingstop, and then we just sat here.
The Wingstop. Oh yeah, stop too.
So you missed everything.
All right.
And yeah, from like the first card, Cody Garbrandt versus Davison Figueiredo, which is basically a potential main event for the belt card, started out the night on like the undercards.
Wow.
You know,
that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So Cody got choked out, which kind of sucks. I like Cody.
Yeah. At least he didn't get knocked out.
Yeah, that's very true. At least his brain.
And, he started on a path.
I mean, either way, oxygen. I mean, getting knocked out, I don't know what the consequence. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's bad.
They say oxygen, like getting choked out is way. There's not, I'm not going to say health benefits. There's no health benefits to it, but it's way safer.
Getting choked out?
Yeah.
Than getting knocked out.
Right.
Yeah, because your brain's not like getting it made into mush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so that happened. So, you know, that was the start of the card. And then we go in and then I forget like how many fights in, probably two or three fights in. It was Bobby Green versus Jim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Miller has been at UFC 100, 200, and now 300.
Oh, right. Did he win?
No, he got his ass beat. So I think that's kind of...
I think he won the other two.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. But I think that's why they put him on there more like, hey, this is the only guy that's actually been at all the main 100 cards.
Yeah.
So, you know, he got his ass beat by Bobby Green pretty bad. At that point, till like the main cards started happening, that was kind of the fight of the night.
Right.
So it was announced the day before that fight of the night was going to get 600K or 300K bonus.
Each, maybe?
Yeah, each.
Okay. Wow.
And usually it's 50K.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's huge.
So, yeah. So, I mean, these fighters are getting their pay, which whatever it is for some of the kind of unknown fighters, if they have a really standout performance and they get a 50K bonus, that's big, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, like Max Holloway's gotten a bonus every fight, basically, that he fights 50K extra on top of his
millions. Yeah, dude's an entertainer.
Yeah. So, you know, for those guys, it's cool. It's like whatever. But for like a smaller guy, 50K is a lot. So they announced that it was going to be 300K instead of 50.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. It made sense. It's, you know, UFC 300. So... 300K, and for that's fight of the night, and then performance of the night, which is like usually one or two fighters that get it, that's another 300K.
Yeah.
So it was looking good for Bobby Green because it was kind of fight of the night so far, and his performance was better. But then we get into the main cards, and then it just got even better after that. So obviously the biggest takeaway is the Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje for the BMF belt. Baddest motherfucker belt, myself included, but I think everyone kind of had Max losing.
Yeah.
We all know Gaethje and how he fights and, you know, how powerful he is, but we all know how Max, how good he is, and he's going to just put his chin on the line, you know. But with that being said, I've seen Max move up in weight before against Dustin Poirier and not do so well, and you can tell he just didn't have power.
Right.
Like, he's never been known as a guy that just knocks people out. He, like, beats the shit out of people.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really, like, just knock people out like that. Justin Gaethje does.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of, like, what I think most people thought. Going into this fight, he looked really good. He said he moved up in weight, I think, from 145 to, so 10 pounds. But he said he did it the right way this time. His body just looked so much fuller with muscle.
Right.
And last time he said that they were calling him muffin top Max because he kind of did it more like in just eating.
Yeah.
And not really gaining muscle or anything. So, yeah, he didn't really have that power there when he fought Dustin Poirier. He got his ass beat. And then now he fights someone that just knocked out Dustin Poirier.
Right.
So, you know, on paper, it looks bad for Max. But then he comes in. He looks really good. He looks fit. Super sharp. I mean, the guy's probably one of the better guys as far as like with his hands UFC. Goes out there, dominates the entire fight, and then with 10 seconds left, this is like one of the iconic things that happened. He points to the middle of the ring and he says, "Let's bang." They start banging. With 1 second left, he knocks out Justin Gaethje.
How fucking crazy is that?
He already had won the fight too.
Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, awesome for entertainment, but not a smart way to end things. I mean, it's, like you said, putting your chin on the line after you already won the fight, probably not.
Yeah.
But it was well worth it in the highlight reel.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of cemented him as more like a legend than just like, hey, he beat Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
like that right there just cemented everything else that you wanted to say about him.
Yeah, and that was like they must have been exhausted. They're at the end of round what?
Was it five
round? Okay.
Because so it was for the belt.
They're at the end of round five, and dude is just like put down cold on the floor. Like he wasn't moving.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
So I had a little criticism on that, and then he said something that kind of changed my mind. But, you know, he points to the center of the ring. He was more ready for that than Justin. Justin was already beat up.
Yeah.
He got his nose broken in the first round at the very end, like 1 second left to the first round. So he had a hard time breathing already. So he struggled, you know?
Right.
The end of the fight comes around. I'm sure the guy's super tired. He can't breathe through his nose. He's tired. Max points at the center. He's kind of more fresh. He's ready to go. He knows what he wants to do right there. And Justin being Justin, and I criticize him for not being the smartest guy. Like,
oh, BMF.
Yeah, he likes to fight, you know? And he says, I usually don't plan the next day because I assume I'm going to die in the ring. So I'm like, oh, geez, all right. Yeah. And that's basically what he does. When that guy says it, I believe it, you know?
Yeah.
So Max points and it's like, you know he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Any other smart fighter would probably be like, nah. But so he went in there and he didn't look as fresh, and Max did. Max got the better end.
But
so
it was like his last chance to win the fight, though.
So I thought to myself, I'm like, dude, Max kind of baited him to do that.
Yeah.
And it looks way worse. Like losing a decision to Max Holloway is not that bad.
Yeah.
Now losing, getting KO'd, and now you're
but just, especially by Max Holloway,
who notoriously
has zero power.
Yeah. And you're just asleep there. That's
bad.
Yeah. And for your body and everything, you know, it's not just the visual of it, but like your body, you just got fucking sent to the shadow realm for like 5 minutes, you know?
Right? And then you could even see it in Max, the way he his celebration afterwards. It's like, that motherfucker's not even winded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just like, wow, that's, I mean, obviously I was just watching highlight reels. I'll watch the fight because I want to see it now, but.
Yeah. So, but then Max came out in the presser, post-fight interviews, and he was talking about, he's like, which it made me understand it more, and it made me respect them more. Cause I said like, he just baited him to do that. Yeah. Cause he knows Justin will do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's one of those guys. So he said, if I was losing the fight, I know Justin would have gave me the last 10 seconds to try and win it.
Yeah.
So he was basically saying like, let's bang because you won the fight and you're giving this guy 10 seconds to bang. And there was like, if you like really slow-mo down the whole sequence, there was a shot that Justin threw a right hand that missed his chin by like a half an inch.
Oh, really?
If he would have landed that, he probably would have knocked out Max.
Yeah.
But he didn't land it, right? So he gave him that chance, and I was like, oh, okay, I see your point of view. You're not doing it like trying to bait him and he's tired and you just want to make like this a scene, you know, make it look better for you. It's more like you're giving this guy a chance. Like, hey, you're a warrior. I'm a warrior. I appreciate you giving me the shot to the belt. Let's bang. And whoever comes on top comes up.
Yeah. So he's going to have to fight Poirier again, of course.
Why is that?
Max.
Why is that?
Isn't that the same division?
Yeah, but.
I mean, because Poirier fucking destroyed Max.
Yeah, but Poirier's going, he's fighting for the belt next against Islam.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Islam will beat the shit out of Poirier. So why would Max fight Poirier?
Yeah.
When he loses, he's probably going to go fight Islam for the belt. And then be two division champion and the BMF.
Right.
Kind of staples, that'd be
pretty, you know? That kind of makes it right there.
So then moving up to the main event. Oh, and by the way, there was like one or two fights in this card that sucked. And one of them was like the Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison, which is the new UFC female fighter, two-time Olympic gold medalist and some type of karate shit. I don't know. So supposedly this badass chick comes in, dominates Holly. Holly needs to retire. It sucks because I really like Holly.
Yeah.
But so that fight really sucked.
That's too bad.
I was like, you know. But other than that, the whole card was pretty good.
Nice.
So main event. Alex Pereira versus, I blanked on his name.
Don't ask me. I did, you know, I didn't even recognize the guy in the fight. I was like, who? I don't even know who that is.
Ah, what's his name? I blanked on his name, but he fights, right? It's irrelevant what the guy's name is. Cause there was nothing that happened. It was in the first round. So basically another badass moment.
Yeah.
Right. So they're fighting. The guy kicks Pajeda in the dick. And you can hear it. Like he went straight cup. Yeah. It wasn't like underneath.
Was it like a hollow or like a ting, or was it a good thump? Like he just kicked a fucking tree trunk.
No, it was more like a ting.
I'm just trying to. Yeah.
No, it was like a sidekick that caught like directly, like direct shot to the cup, not underneath or anything, mm-hmm. which I feel like that's more those
underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the ones
that thump and kind of hurt more. So it was more like a, you know, you got him really good on the top of the cup and it made a noise. Right. And then, he kind of pointed and Herb Dean came in to like, right. he goes like this and Pajeda just waves him off. He's like,
yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. And then 2 seconds later.
And then 2 seconds later, he knocks him out.
Yeah.
And it's like, that to me, unpopular opinion, because I know everyone's all up on Max right now. And right. they're saying Max point at the center of the ring is the most gangster shit ever. And it's like, no, because he's done that before.
Yeah.
He's kind of known for that. That's why people love Max. Yeah.
And honestly, Max can do that. I know it's like seems kind of stupid for him to do that. But at the same time, he's probably one of the best, if not the best boxer
yeah.
in the UFC. So he knows there's not a huge chance this guy's going to knock me out, yeah. like even
and,
hit me.
Yeah. Not even that. It's his chin.
Yeah.
Right. He got knocked down in the fight with Justin, but they credited it to a slip. So he even said, like, I think in another interview that he did get hit pretty good.
Yeah.
So it wasn't knocked down, but it seemed more like a slip. So it's not even credited. So he's never really been knocked down or knocked out.
Right.
Ever, right.
Crazy.
So we know his chin is there. So yeah. for the 10 seconds, we know his hands are better than most, so he's going to probably connect more. And if he happens to get hit, he's probably not going to go out.
Yeah.
Right? So he's known for that, and that's why we love Max. So to say that was the most gangster shit, I don't think so. It's gangster when you get kicked in the dick, the ref comes in, because everyone saw it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a no one, you know, like it could have gone both ways. No. Everyone knows he got kicked in the dick. Herb Dean comes in to like call timeout, and he just waves him off. He's like, nah, I'm good. Get out of here.
Right.
I'm about to kill this man. Potion. And then Herb Dean's like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Continue. And then, you know, takes like one step and then just left cross or left yeah. hook to the yeah. face and knocks him out.
That's his punch too.
Yeah. It's Jamal Hill.
Jamal Hill.
The guy.
Yeah. Alex Pereira. Wait, how do you say his last name? I just
Pajeda.
Pereira.
Yeah. You could say that.
Okay. Yeah, this is scary because he doesn't look, even when he's fighting, he doesn't look like dominant, you know? It's just kind of, not slow, but just kind of, he's just got this slow looking pace about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then his punches don't even look bad, but he just puts people to sleep. I'm like, Jesus.
Well, I guess he just, at the UFC Institute or whatever, I guess he just broke Ngannou's punch record.
Oh, really?
Because Ngannou has the hardest punch record yeah. ever recorded.
Yeah.
And he went in there and broke it with his right hand. And
he's not even the same weight class.
No, Ngannou's a heavyweight.
Yeah.
So yeah, and he did it with his right hand, right? And then, but he's knocking out everyone with his left hand, which blows my mind, you know, how that stuff works. But yeah, Jamal Hill, not a good performance, got knocked out. I'm sure it was kind of a funky thing where Herb Dean comes in and is about to stop it, doesn't stop it. So then Jamal kind of acknowledges like, hey, all right, cool, sorry. Yeah. He gave him a thumbs up. And then Herb got out of the way. He comes back and they like, I think touch hands once and they kind of go. But I don't think he expected a punch to come immediately after that.
Right.
You know, especially that hook. Yeah. So he could kind of say like, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see it. But at the same time, it's the fight game, and it's like,
yeah, I don't know. I watched it a couple times. I mean, it was pretty legit. Yeah, it's like, there was no like surprise.
They didn't even hit him that good either.
There was a fight recently where I don't even know if it probably wasn't even the UFC, but someone was like dirty boxing, like came out and touched gloves, and as soon as they touched gloves, they threw a kick or something.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, that's bullshit. It was nothing like that.
No, it wasn't like that. Yeah. So I think that was more gangster than Max calling for the 10-second brawl.
Yeah.
Because we kind of expect that from
Max.
Yeah,
I mean, that was pretty cool. Plus, Alex, I mean, he was ripping apart that front calf.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, anytime before that, I was like, that fucking guy's legs hurting right now.
Who's that?
Alex.
Just
was kicking Jamal's front calf like probably so 8 or 9 times, you know, before even that occurred. I mean, that limits your mobility a lot.
So. Yeah. And everyone talks about his kicks are just so like, Israel Adesanya says how his kicks are so deceiving, like you don't ever see him coming.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but he is a kickboxer, right?
Yeah, he's so, real quick with it.
Yeah. So I'm like, how? And then now it's like a thing where like all these social media influencer stuff go hang out with him and they're like, all right, give me like 10%. And he'll like kick them and they're like, oh my God, you know? And I'm like, dude, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Like a 10% kick. I don't know. But yeah, he's like very sneaky with his kick. And I guess during the fight, Joe Rogan was talking about, I guess, or Daniel, one of them was talking about, they hung out with him and he was like showing them how to counter that.
Right.
But no one knows how to counter it except for him.
Okay.
But he was showing them like, this is how you counter that kick. Yeah,
and a counter will usually stop people from doing that because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, it was an incredible card for what I thought was going to be a disappointing situation. It was really good.
Right. How do you feel about those like low calf kicks? Are those, you think that's a cheap way out?
No.
Or just another tool in the bag?
Well, it's MMA, mixed martial arts. Okay. So you got to know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So that comes with this too. It's sad to say, and I don't want to be the hater guy, but just wait till he gets to someone that doesn't know how to fight like he does, but knows how to wrestle.
Right.
He might be in trouble.
Yeah. Is he not known for good wrestling? Like, I've never seen him wrestle, so
exactly.
I assume, but a lot of people surprise me.
And all his fights are against real good stand-up guys.
Okay.
Israel Adesanya, stand-up guy. Sean Strickland, stand-up. Jamal Hill, stand-up. You know, like all these guys are really good on their feet with their fists. But he hasn't fought a guy that can just wrestle. So the second he fights one of those guys and he beats them, then I kind of see him as like, all right, you're legit.
Yeah.
You know, but don't be surprised when he fights someone that can wrestle or jujitsu and they beat him and you're like, holy shit, this guy's amazing. But then everyone in the top five has beat that guy.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of what happens in the UFC with mixed martial arts. So that's why I say like kicks, all that stuff. Aljamain Sterling fought in the card and that was one of the most boring fights there was, but he just controlled Calvin Kattar. He just like grabbed him, kept him down, wouldn't let the kind of like a Khabib situation where he's just an anaconda on the ground and doesn't let you get up and just ground and pounds you. Dude, good for you. You're boring. No one likes to see your fights, but you're not going to lose.
Right.
And a fighter fighting him, you should kind of know what you're getting into. So go into your bag and figure out how to beat him.
Right.
But it's a lot harder. You know, that's why like MMA and UFC, it's super cool to watch.
Yeah.
Because at any night, anyone can win. So I like it. With that being said, UFC 303.
Dude, June is just
packed.
Yeah. June's an expensive month for a UFC fan.
Yeah. So June 29th, the return of Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler.
That's crazy. I mean, anything could happen, but I can see Chandler beating Conor. Yeah, Conor, especially if it goes past round two.
I think.
Plus, Conor's been out for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a bad fight for Conor.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a sad day for.
What's the reach difference there? Because Conor seems a lot longer than him.
Yes, that's very true. But with that being said, Michael Chandler, that's all he fights.
Right.
You know, he fought Ferguson, he fought Dustin Poirier, he fought Justin Gaethje. I think all those guys.
Right.
So they all have reach advantage on him.
Yeah, he's just super explosive. Connor's got a lot of power, but Chandler just has that fucking work behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just nonstop the whole time. Yeah. So
he has a chin, he has power, and he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that's a tough first fight. Welcome back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, welcome back in a retirement. Because if he loses that, I don't see him wanting to fight again.
Yeah.
It's like, for what?
Yeah, I don't even know why he's taking a fight now.
Nate Diaz is calling for a UFC at the Ball in Vegas against his trilogy against Conor.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So with that being said.
Yeah. But that's a good example of where I see Conor and his skill level.
Yeah.
He's got power. But I don't think he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got some power to him because, you know, he has no, you know, his stamina sucks.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Probably the worst in the UFC. And then, you know, he fights Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is not known. He's just known for just a brawler.
Yeah.
That just can't get knocked out.
Like a Max Holloway.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is, with that being said, Is It Rigged, where he fights Chandler, beats Chandler,
comes back,
then fights the trilogy at the Sphere in Vegas, which is one of the biggest fights ever. Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor.
I'm gonna say no,
because if Chandler beats him, what are the odds of him wanting to come back and fight in what is it, September?
Right.
So that's only like 2 or 3 months removed from getting your ass beat or getting knocked out, whatever it may be, and fighting a trilogy against Nate Diaz, even though Nate Diaz hasn't fought in a while in the UFC.
Yeah, but he's fighting again soon. June, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's the thing. I don't see that happening unless Conor wins.
Right. So you're saying it's a setup?
I'm just saying it could be.
It's one of those things where if it doesn't happen, you'd be like, yeah, obviously it wasn't a setup. But if it does happen, you'd be like, see?
That's how conspiracies start, right?
I don't see him winning. In fact, I might put some money on that. Just a small, like 10, 20 bucks just for fun.
And it might be one where McGregor is the favorite.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I'll,
not a bad
I'll
bet. Go,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So June, look out for that. It's gonna
June. What else is there's 3 UFC events in June.
Strickland versus Costa.
Okay, that'll be cool.
Islam versus Poirier for the 155 belt.
Islam's
a I think Islam's bad got dude. It. Yeah. And then we got the Smash guy.
Machaev?
Yeah. That guy versus...
I don't know who the other one is. But you also got Nate versus Masvidal. Diaz versus Masvidal.
Yeah, and that's not in the UFC.
It's not?
No.
Oh, I thought I saw their face on there.
No, that's just a good fight. I think Masvidal started his own thing where it's like bare knuckle, but UFC. So mixed martial arts, bare knuckle.
Oh.
So I think that's what they're doing. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know. If you're a boxing fan, this weekend, Ryan Garcia versus Hanley. Devin Haney. Devin Haney is what his name is. I mean, I don't know if you've seen much of Ryan Garcia, but he's been... either trolling the internet and trying to sell this fight, or he's just really gone off the rails.
Oh, really?
With all the stuff he's been saying lately. So it should be a good one.
I don't know shit about either one of those guys.
Okay. Well, it's boxing. Another news. Your girl, Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
So she went first overall to the Indiana Fever in the 2024 WNBA draft.
Yeah.
So... I want to give you some numbers here. I'm sure you looked at them.
I have them.
But rookie contract, 4-year, $338K.
Yeah, first year, 76 grand.
First year, 76. Second year, 78. In 2026, she'll be making 85K. And then her last year, 2027.
Which is optional.
Is 97K.
Okay. 33 times less than I think the average NBA contract.
Yeah.
Is how that plays out. I'm as you know, if you've listened to me before, I'm a pretty big proponent of business. And so, yeah, it doesn't make sense. They can't afford to pay her more. I mean, like, they're like, oh, all the women in the NBA are grossly underpaid compared to men in the WNBA compared to the NBA, because the NBA brings in a fuckload more money. Like, they're just like, what are they supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
So... that's just the way it is. However, she is signing a 8-figure contract with Nike. So,
yeah. You know. So she's going to get her own shoe, get an 8-figure deal. So money wise, I don't think it's going to matter to her. She's getting all these endorsements just from what she's done in college.
Yeah.
I
will say anyone that was talking about her going into the NBA is out of their fucking mind.
I mean, even the big three, because what was she offered, 3 or 5 million?
Yeah. 5 mil. And then 10 mil for Portnoy's
League. Yeah. Portnoy's League. So, you know, 5 mil to go play 8 games.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 games or 8 games, one of the two. And then two playoff games if they made it, right?
Right.
So she could have done that, but she didn't.
I wonder if that would have made her ineligible for like the Indiana Fever.
Maybe.
So I wonder, you know, because I mean, with Nike on the side, she probably wouldn't get that contract if she went to any one of those other leagues.
She would have gotten the Nike deal.
You think so?
Yeah, because she's already a Nike athlete.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's just now she's getting her signature shoe.
Yeah.
So she's getting that 8-figure.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I just feel like, and this matters to people.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like if she did that, realistically, she wouldn't have performed what everyone thinks that she would have.
In the NBA?
In the NBA and in the big three.
Okay.
In the WNBA, I don't think she's going to even do good.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, I think she has potential, but it is what it is. If you watched, like I was watching one of her games, this is probably like in the Sweet 16 spot, and then immediately after it was like Purdue and whatever team they were playing, the men were so much more aggressive than the females. I was like, yeah, there's no fucking way. And I think every one of those guys are probably taller than she is and just heavier.
Well, just think about just think about the regular women that are in WNBA right now. They're seasoned in the league. Mm-hmm. They're really good. Just because they don't make noise, it doesn't mean that there aren't good players.
Yeah.
So they're already really good. A lot of them are a lot bigger than her, with experience. So her coming in with a smaller frame and just like being like that Steph Curry, just shoot threes. Once those girls kind of figure her out, and it might be right off the bat, or it might take them a little while. So she might struggle from the get-go, or like later she'll start struggling once people kind of figure out her game.
Right.
And we're talking about seasoned vets and just girls that have been in the league already that are really, just really good. They know the speed of the game at the WNBA level.
Right, right.
You know, so for her, so that's what I say, like even coming into WNBA, I think she's going to struggle. Yet alone playing against men in the big three in the NBA.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. So I think like that.
If we catch hate, let me know. But I mean, in my mind, that there's just no comparison.
I don't know where the hate would come from.
I don't know. People, you know, hate, people got a signal.
Hey, if there's ever any hate because of that, I'll just reference back to that male swimmer.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden a male turns into a female.
Yeah.
And starts swimming and dominates. And all of a sudden all the females that were like, oh, equality. They're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same thing, you know, and it's a good, you know, I like the topic because like I'm saying, we're taking the hype of her in college, which she broke all the records, the highest scoring, NCAA or whatever.
Which I think, you know, and in that comparison, that's actually a great stat because that says if I'm a male playing in the male college leagues or if I'm a female playing in the male, female college leagues, those are like equal parameters. So what I do in the male college league and what I do in the female college league as a female or male respectively, those accomplishments are legit. Like her accomplishment, like most points scored ever, that's a huge accomplishment. That doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, that stat stands, right?
Yeah.
Because they're on equal playing fields, right? But if she went into the males league, she's not scoring shit.
Yeah.
So, but her accomplishment shouldn't be taken away from her simply because she's competing at a level that in this case now is like equal, right?
Yeah.
So, that's an important distinction in my
mind. But I think people take that accomplishment, what you're talking about, and kind of try to translate it into a different level. And it's like,
oh, right.
No.
They're like, okay, yeah,
she did this and she's the best. Yeah, okay. At what she's doing right now. But that doesn't mean she's going to go in the NBA and do the same,
right?
Yet alone even play.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where I'm at. And like I said, like we could look at that male swimmer that is trans and then all of a sudden is racing against females.
Went from like 230th in the men's national.
Even more than that. I think it was like 400 and something.
Okay. I was going to say 400, but I was like, I don't want to exaggerate.
No, we got to give the facts.
200. So, you know, the guy was trash. At his best, he might have been in the 200, but the number I remember was 4 something, but I wasn't sure. So,
dude, the dude is trash swimmer.
But then comes out to national and or ties the best female.
Yeah, smokes the best female.
Yeah. Well, one of the nationals he tied with, there's a girl that's very outspoken about the situation now. I forget her name, but.
No, but that's funny because before Riley. She was probably like, oh, I could go in and smoke the guys. You know, that's kind of the mentality when like people are like at the top of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, dude, there's a difference. There's categories. So I want to talk about.
Oh, no, but the good thing about that is like that wasn't her mentality at all. Because I mean, in swimming, it's straight time. There's
maybe,
a time on
maybe
the board,
before.
And she can just see and be like, "Yep, can't compete with that."
Okay, that is true.
Close.
That is true.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I want to talk about kind of maybe the only place that you see females and males competing against each other, and it's like I really don't think there's any sport that's at a professional level where there's women and males.
Yeah, even in gymnastics, they're separate.
They're
and
separate.
There's different events that they...
Yeah. So I think the only one that you can really compare off, and I like it, is motorsports. Female dirt bike rider, if she's good enough and shows up to a race and qualifies for the main event or the night show, she could race against all the good pro guys.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't matter that she's a female.
Mm-hmm.
She could race. NASCAR. Danica Patrick.
So you're just saying straight that there's no gender gap, so to speak.
Yeah, it's all like
league is the league. There's no men's and women's league.
Okay. I mean, there are, but I'm just saying like a female can race NASCAR.
Right.
There's no like rules against that. It's only male. No, females can race NASCAR. Right. So we've seen the females in these situations, and yet has Danica ever won?
I don't know.
A NASCAR
race? I was going to ask you.
I don't think so. I'm not a NASCAR person, but I don't think so. Yet alone, like a prestigious race like Daytona 500, I don't think so.
Right.
Right. And then like other motorsports where there's females against males, they don't do as well. Why? Right. I mean, you guys tell us. Yeah. But I'm just putting that out there.
Open the comment section.
And I'm just putting that out there because that's not really on the fact of ability as far as a male and a female.
You don't think so?
No, because you're both you're in a car that's just as fast as this guy's car.
Well, no, but it still plays back to that. I mean, NASCAR, I can't speak to NASCAR. I don't know shit about it. In my mind, it is simplified as long as you know, if you have the skill level required. But a lot of athletics, it comes down to physical ability. And in motocross, I would argue that still prevents females from performing as well. Because when you got a 250-pound bike that you have to, you know, maneuver around, a male that's stronger is going to be able to do it easier.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, but there's kids coming up that are like, and they might be stronger, like a little teenage kid, a little, you know, 15, 16 year old kid that's out there ripping, just like being super good. He's probably not at his peak level of like muscle and mm-hmm. puberty or whatever it may be, you know, as a full grown woman, I don't know. But I'm just judging it based off like, you guys are all on the same equipment. So if you put a female on Jet Lawrence's bike and you put Jet Lawrence on his own bike too, it's like you guys are on the same exact bike.
Right.
You know, and you guys can tweak it and stuff like that. Danica's in the same, she's in a NASCAR. That's the same guys are racing against her.
Right.
So what's the difference there?
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys tell me.
I just think there's physical.
But what's the physical and physical driving limits?
Because like if you look at running, right? Men are faster than women in running, but women are smaller and lighter. So they're carrying a lighter weight the same distance, but they're slower. So, I mean, you know, I just think a lot of it boils down to physical strength.
But what physical strength do you need when you're just driving a car?
That's why I said I don't know shit about NASCAR.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's I mean, I'm like, sure there is.
Yeah.
There's like some fatigue. You're in there super hot and stuff like that. But I'm just saying like you guys kind of have the same stuff. In running, a man has a bigger frame, more muscle to go faster. And if they work on their endurance, then they can, you know.
Yeah.
A female probably can't go as fast, but she has an endurance. So obviously the male is going to beat her. Right. Because you're kind of starting off at a not an equal playing field. But if you're in the same kind of car that goes the same
right
speed, but yet you can't win a race against these males, why? It's kind of where I'm going. And really, like I said, this is kind of the only scenario where you see a female versus a male straight out.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it's a lot harder to drive a car than I'm saying. But I'm just saying also that you don't really see female winners in those type of sports. The guys still dominate, and it makes you wonder why. So there's reasons why. There's female leagues and male leagues. And then as businessman Dave here points out, the male leagues may be more entertaining.
Yeah. I did want to bring up that the women's NCAA championship had the most watched event. The mm-hmm. final mm-hmm. was the most watched event in all those, I guess, all of NCAA basketball.
Uh-huh.
So
even against the men?
Yeah. So I don't know, and that's the first time that happened. So I don't know if that will, in time, if that's like a, I don't know that they get paid anything for that, do they? The NCAA basically makes the money off the advertisements for that, right?
Well, the players can make money now off the nil.
The nil, but not like televised events. They're not getting paid for performance. So I guess that's not going to make a difference. Because that was going to be my only thing. Like, well, if they're getting more viewers, they should be getting paid more, but they're not paid for shit.
No.
Quick recap. Patrick concluded her NASCAR career with no wins and finished in the top 10 in 3.6% of her almost 200 races.
There you go. But why? She's in the same car as the men.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not like she's on feet on a Fred Flintstone car where she's paddling with her feet and these guys have engines. Like, it's still, they're in the same shit. there's just differences.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. There's just differences. Now, men all of a sudden transition and become trans to a woman,
right,
and then go into women's sports and they dominate. What's that tell you? I'm just saying, like, it's really not that hard to grasp.
Right.
I think, right. You know, with that being said, ratings down. Caitlin Clark brings the ratings up.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else is going to have to stand up and be the new Caitlin Clark for next year and the years following. And I hope everyone remembers, like, because it could just go so easy where next year is like the lowest ratings ever.
Right.
For them. And then the men's still up top, you know? So that's the thing. Like, social media, we prop these people up and make them like superheroes. And then we start watching and everyone's invested in it. But then when there's like no one there, all of a sudden no one cares.
Right.
And I think that kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, even then, like you mentioned social media, that's a really good point, because like you hear about all that and you're like, oh, all the buzz and stuff that's going on. That was the most watched NCAA, I'm going to say women's event. It could be possibly the most watched NCAA basketball event ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, whoa, that's a lot, right? But the actual number is 2.5 million people.
Yeah.
Which is baby shit compared to major sporting events. You know, it's like,
I mean, like streamers on.
In the UFC, which is not as watched as other major sporting events, mm-hmm. that's almost nothing. That's like we lost our ass on that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, for sure. But speaking of the ratings, the Masters this past weekend, ratings down 20% from last year.
Ooh.
And the lowest since 2021.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Well, any ideas why?
I was going to ask you, but PGA sucks. Golf is boring as fuck.
I mean, I'll agree. I'll get sucked in. If I'm not doing it, if I'm just fucking around in the house, cleaning, whatever, I'll put on PGA because I just have like a huge appreciation for what those guys can do.
Yeah.
You know, you go hit a ball, practice, whatever, and then you watch one of these guys knowing that they're on a course. You can't even fathom in your mind, even though it looks flat on TV. Yeah. But you get out there. I've played a couple like 140 level courses. And I'm just like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. and then knowing that they can just place the ball where they need to, you know, and you know, just being a couple under par is like, that's what's going to take it.
Well, that's why they're professionals.
Yeah. It's just super impressive. And then sometimes when you really get into the world of golf, you know, like the competition between a couple players, it's just in a single tournament is, you know, is fun to watch. But mm-hmm. otherwise, yeah, it's pretty boring. If you're not a regular golfer, you'd be like, meh.
I don't know what happened in 2021. Maybe Liv came out and was so popular and everyone was like, oh, and then the show on Netflix.
Yeah.
So people were kind of invested in golf and were like, hey, let's watch.
Yeah.
And it was like, huge ratings. But then that buzz is kind of dying down again.
Right. And Liv shook things up because the Saudi money is just so like free flowing. They're like, yeah, 100 million for you, 100 million for you. You know, everyone's like, what?
And the tournament was different. And they're like more relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people were like, yeah, let's watch. This is fun. And they have top players.
Right.
You know? So now, I mean, Tiger was there, right? This past weekend.
Yeah. By the way, the Liv players did dog shit at the Masters.
Yeah. So you can't say like, oh, Tiger wasn't there. Like he was there. So people were tuning in just to see how Tiger did,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But it's still, you know, 20% down bad ratings. And it's like, dude, the PGA, I saw a clip, an article, but I didn't read it, but it said something about like, I guess Jason Day had some type of, like sweater vest on.
Yeah.
It was like white and it had a bunch of writing, like black writing. And they asked him to take it off.
Really?
Yeah. Like the PGA people were like, hey, can you, that's too distracting. And that right there itself tells you, like, dude, you guys are so lame.
Yeah.
I hope no one watches you guys.
What? Yeah, I wonder what the deal is with that.
It's because you can't do nothing that they don't approve of, you know? So that's the thing. Like, if you learn anything from what we just said about, like, Caitlin Clark and all that, you got to have these guys and make them to be superheroes.
Right.
So then people watch for those guys.
Right.
You know, when Tiger was dominating, people wanted to watch Tiger.
Right.
When Tiger comes back, except for this year, people want to tune in to see how Tiger does.
Let's see what happens when Happy Gilmore 2 is released with golf. The ratings go up, down. See when when it's released.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But
that's going to make golf look fun.
Yeah, but so say like that, you know, that movie comes out and Liv will probably like fully dive into that. You know, have Adam Sandler come out to a tournament, like whatever it is, post it on social media. PGA won't.
Right.
Because it's not PGA.
Right.
You know, if it was a PGA movie, they would do it. But since it's
like
not
PGA's, PGA and Live, the contrast there is almost like the difference between old money and new money.
Yeah.
You know?
And I appreciate like, not so much class, but like, what's it called? Traditions.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate that, like, I guess PGA is trying to keep that there. But dude, you got to realize we're in 2024 now and things, a lot of things have changed.
Dude, my hat was blown off when I saw the fucking people were wearing hoodies out on the golf course. Like, yeah. That's like a new thing all of a sudden. Like, oh, the golf companies are making hoodies. I'm like, that is traditionally totally unacceptable.
Well, shorts too, right? Or they can wear shorts.
I don't know. I think shorts are okay.
Because I thought it was a big deal because the guys over on Live were wearing shorts.
Okay.
Something like that. So they're like, oh my God.
Right. Like, I don't remember, but that's another good example. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but if you're going to be a company like that, where you just are all about tradition and trying to keep the game, you know, back to when it started, by all means, like, cool. But the consumer doesn't want that and they're not going to watch. So that's what's going to happen.
Yep. Interesting to see. Yeah. And from what I heard, there's a little bit of a shakeup. They were supposed to merge.
Yeah.
And now it's like.
Yeah. Now it's still Live. Yeah. And they're still buying more players.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I'm like, okay.
My guy.
Not a partnership now. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I heard my guy, Victor Hovland, whatever his name is the next guy they're eyeing.
Oh, really?
To get over at Live.
Huh.
Well, so you could just imagine that bag he's going to get. He's probably just going to be like, all right.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh my gosh. What else? What else you got?
All right. David Rush, your cousin, he balanced a running lawnmower on his chin for 9 minutes and 17 seconds.
Why the fuck would you think that was a good idea?
To break the Guinness World Record.
Okay.
So that kind of fascinates me. And I've been thinking about it.
Running lawnmower?
No, the Guinness Book of Records.
No. No, but it had to be running.
Yeah.
Is the blade intact?
Yeah, but I don't think it was like that part was running, that just the lawnmower was on.
The blade always runs.
No, you got to engage it. You could turn it on and then you got to engage.
That's just the drive, man.
It shows that you've never mowed a lawn before.
I fucking mow my lawn all the time. No, the blade's always running.
No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No. That would be the most dangerous thing ever.
You're asking someone who's mowed their lawn 1,000 times.
No.
Yeah. You don't even have a lawn.
Yeah, but I've grown up mowing lawns and shit.
All right, whatever. Go ahead.
So, yeah, so it's just running.
I'm going to test this tonight. If you see me without a foot on the next podcast, you know why.
Dude, there's a drive and then there's an engaged the blade. Okay. So say you're like going to go over a little bump. You can't do it with a mower on.
Okay.
You'd have to turn it off because the blades are going to hit it and then, you know.
Yeah, I've shaved plenty of hills.
No. No, you have to engage that part of the mower. But yeah, dude, for one, how do people come up with this stuff? Like, I can do this. Well, I think it's easy going into the book right now or like the website or whatever and seeing what other people have done.
Yeah.
And then going, because this guy's like a serial Guinness
exactly yeah
breaker or yeah. whatever, so it's easy to do that. But who was the first guy that was like, hey, I'm just gonna balance a lawnmower
on my chin? How did you see pictures of it?
I saw the video
like
of him
sometimes
doing
they
it.
Got like those rubber pads or something that they mm-hmm. use for yeah. like kegs or something on their chin, just something stupid. Yeah,
and it has to be running.
Yeah,
which kind of makes sense because then it vibrates.
Yeah, disengaged, so the blade disengaged.
Yeah,
okay,
probably no blade on it, I don't know. But he did it before, and I think he did it for like 3 minutes or maybe even like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And they disqualified him because it didn't have a bag on it.
So, no bag. He ain't getting the bag.
So it made it lighter.
Dude.
So the first guy that did it had the bag on it.
Yeah.
And I think his was only like 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
And then he broke it with a...
Shit's so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Jorge, you got a bunch of hats. Let's see how tall, how many bill-to-bill balances you can do all the way up.
That would be impressive. Bill
to
bill.
Yeah. And we'll do Guinness World Records.
Yeah. So I need to go in there and check out which records they have that maybe we can break. Cause I think it'd be kind of cool to go in and try. And this just brings up a point. Like, I've been following this guy, this gamer guy, your guy, Doug Sensor Martin.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Buff dude, you know, claims he's all natty and stuff. So he's always been in the gym and everything. So for whatever reason, I don't really know, but he started this pull-up challenge.
Right.
And became a thing where now he's going to try and break the world record.
There's some fucking mountains that Cam Haines' son, Justin Pruitt, he was, I think, the last one that broke it. Him and Dave Goggins have kind of gone back and forth.
Nah, they didn't do much because...
I think it was like 1,200.
No.
No?
No, 1,200? Yeah. You know what the record is?
No.
It's 8,000 in 24 hours.
In 24 hours?
Yeah.
All right, I got to look this up because I was pretty sure one of them was the one that broke it. So maybe my numbers are fucked.
Yeah. No, I think the most David Goggins has done is 4,000. And I was like, why is that even a big... deal, because the guy that has the record, his name's like Jackson, and I think it's like 4,000 or 8,000 pull-ups in 24 hours. So Doug's trying to break it by doing like 1,100.
Yeah.
No, 11.
So in 2023, David Goggins got it at 4,000.
Yeah.
So that was in April 14, 2023. So about a year ago. And then I don't have, there's no date on this, so I don't know when the last one is. It doesn't even give me a number here. Who did 8,008 pull-ups? Jackson Italiano of Australia set a Guinness World Record by doing maximum number of pull-ups, 8,008 by a male, in 24 hours to raise money for charity that assists 400,000 people.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So
that's fairly recent.
Yeah. So David, even if this Jackson guy did it 4 years, 5 years ago, still David Goggins only did 4,000.
Right. Right.
So,
well, that's why those names popped in my head.
Yeah.
Because it's two words.
No, this guy, just scrawny little dude, right? Breaks the record 8,000. So Doug's trying to do 11,000 to, you know, set himself up to like,
yeah.
So if he's, and he like, he live streams it.
Yeah.
And he does all this. And I think he does 6 pull-ups every minute.
Okay.
So he does like the 6 pull-ups, gets down, and then when the minute is up, he'll like whatever time it takes him to do it, like, you know, it doesn't take him more than 30 seconds. So he probably has a little over 30 seconds of rest time.
Yeah.
And then the next minute he does another 6.
Right.
So that's kind of the progression I saw him do. With that being said, I think if he's saying I'm going to do 11,000 to break the record and then make it kind of harder for the next guy to do it, then I think he probably knows he already has the 8,000.
Yeah.
I would assume.
I would think so.
Yeah. So
that's fucking insane.
So I think in July or August, he's going to do it.
I hope he doesn't fail. So we have to listen to him cry about something, because he does a lot.
Yeah. But then he'll cry about doing it.
Okay.
Because he does it a lot.
His blisters.
Yeah. No, but that's, I mean, dude, 11th. I mean, even if he just breaks a record at 8,000, whatever it is, dude. 8,000 pull-ups. I mean, 24 hours is a long time, but dude, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And the guy looks like it. Like I said, the guy that has it, like, he might have like biceps and stuff, but he's a skinny dude. Doug looks like a ripped.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I was actually watching his stream yesterday, asking him some questions about that.
Okay.
So he is going to live stream it so we can all watch it. And it is going for the palsy disease.
Cerebral palsy.
I think that's what the fundraiser he's doing with it. So it's for a good cause, not just to break the record. But yeah, I kind of want to know, like, what is there any secret talents that you have or something that you would kind of be interested in?
No, actually, I do not have any
secret. I mean, you could kind of make something up, and I think it might already be something in the Guinness book.
Right, right.
So.
No, I mean, there's so many stupid ass records. Like, my kids watch, was it Dude Perfect?
Yeah.
They watch Dude Perfect. And then there's like a couple guys from Australia they watch all the time called the, I don't even remember their name. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, Dude Perfect. One of the ones they did was like, you know, those big inflatable like aerobic balls.
Yeah.
They rode those. Like across a gym. And,
yeah.
And the Tyler, the main guy from Dude Perfect rode like 45 of them and broke a new record. And
that is kind of cool.
Like, that was it. Like,
yeah,
you know, he just rolled across that many and then, oh, new record.
So let's do it for 50.
The fuck? Yeah.
But then we got to buy 50.
I was going to say, balls. The problem is, unless we have a bunch of people grabbing them behind us and throwing them back in there, then you got to rely on that shit, you know? But yeah, there's so many records. I mean, you could.
I don't know if you were ever, or that was kind of your generation, but I don't know if you were the biggest fan of Robin Big. Rob Dyrdek, like Fantasy Factories type?
No.
Okay, so Rob, you know what Robin Big is though?
No.
Like Rob, you know who Rob Dyrdek is?
Nope.
Oh, come on. Yeah. The skateboarder guy.
Yeah, I know who he is.
The little white skateboarder dude. And he had that big ass black bodyguard, rest in peace.
Okay.
So they had that show, Robin Big, where they were like the best friends, but that was his bodyguard.
Okay.
And they did hilarious stuff. That was like kind of prime time show back in the day. I think the whole episode they dedicated, or the whole episode was about breaking Guinness World Records. Okay. But I think there were like skateboard ones because Rob's a skater. And I think he broke like 11.
Wow.
Like I think he owns 11 records.
Really?
So yeah. So that's kind of cool. So it'd be kind of interesting, like I said, to check out the website or the book and see which records are on there and when that you can just be like, you know, what I like about Doug is like he saw that and he reached out to that Jackson guy, asked him for advice and how to, you know, whatever, like, and he set his mind to it. Dude, and the guy looks great. He's like, I've never been in this best of shape. And like I said, he's a gym guy.
Yeah.
Right? Sponsored by Gymshark back in the day and everything. Yeah.
He's not sponsored by them anymore.
Well, I don't know.
His life's falling apart.
Yeah, but he's like, dude, I've never been in this good of a shape. And all he does, because I asked him,
yeah,
I'm like, do you still hit the gym? And he's like, all he does is pull-ups.
Really?
That's it.
Wow.
Because he used to go to the gym and, you know, work out full body, everything and stuff like that. He's like, I only do pull-ups.
Wow. That's insane.
So the dedication is what I like.
Right.
You know, so finding something, and then even as stupid as like doing a lawnmower on your chin for whatever, the dedication to like get to that point to break the record, I think is like the coolest part. Uh-huh. So I don't know. I think it'd be fun to find something and then just dedicate your life for that time to break the record.
Right. Yeah. If that's your calling, go for it.
But moving on, the rainmakers in Dubai screw up and flood the city.
The rainmakers?
Yeah. So on Monday and Tuesday, Dubai got 2 years worth of rain in just 24 hours.
Holy shit.
You didn't see that?
No.
So the city was flooding. Between I think Monday 10 a.m. and Tuesday 10 a.m., a record of 6.5 inches rained in Dubai.
Okay.
And they don't get that.
They get zero rain apparently. Yeah. Okay.
So, but their city's not cut out for that. But
what the hell does that mean, rainmaker?
So I don't know if you saw that there were like, they have scientists there that were like creating clouds so it could rain there.
Okay.
So that was going on, but you know, obviously that's the clickbait title.
Yeah.
But so that's a conspiracy. Like, oh, you guys were messing around too much and now you guys made it rain too much.
Right.
But you know, I don't know if there's any like true fact to that, that these guys were actually doing that. I think there was like scientists trying to recreate what happens with clouds and rain. And they were out there doing that. I'm sure they probably succeeded somehow. I don't know.
Right.
But they were saying that they did that and then they made it rain that much. But like, that's not much. But for that area,
I'm more interested in how they're doing that than.
I mean, I'm sure it's not that hard. Creating some machine that just like makes the atmosphere's pressure. Some, I don't know, whatever happens.
Yeah, I want to know. What are they doing? What the hell's going on over there?
Well, we know how like clouds and rain happens, but it's just like making the machines to recreate that, I think.
Right.
You know. It was like drones.
Really?
You need to look that up.
I will.
But yeah, so that happened. So there, you know, it really disrupted the airport there. There was footage of like buildings collapsing. There was footage of camels in the desert, like the main desert. So I'm talking about the city part, but like just the desert part was flooded and they were like kind of getting swept away in the water and shit.
Camels?
It was crazy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. So it was a lot of water. But
they fucking just evolved back into horses. I don't know where camels came from, but camels. Like just they don't need their humps anymore. They got plenty of water. So
yeah. Yeah, maybe horses. I was thinking like maybe like a giraffe in a way.
Back into Joe Camel.
They were like the humps, but then like if it wasn't a hump, it went into their neck. So then they got giraffe.
That's
know?
Awesome.
I don't know.
Oh, that's good.
All right. So do you remember, you don't remember Robin Big, so I really doubt you remember this, but do you remember a show called MXC?
MXC. Nope. Go ahead.
It was like a Chinese show, or it was basically American Ninja Warrior before American Ninja Warrior.
Okay.
But it was just funny
because
it was
like, I saw clips from it.
So. Non-talented people doing like crazy stuff, and they'd always end up in the water.
Yeah.
And like the, it was Chinese, so like it was dubbed. And okay. You know, the people would
they
come out
do the dub over. That's like funny. Yeah.
The people would come out and be like, my wife is cheating on me.
Okay.
Yeah. Blah, blah. And then start doing the course. So that, right. And then American Ninja Warrior happens because of that, I believe.
Okay.
So now there's a new show. It's a Japanese show, and it's basically MXC, American Ninja Warrior, but with skateboards.
Oh, geez.
So I'm imagining, because these guys are like legit.
Yeah.
I imagine like all the contestants are like somewhat professional or like really good skateboarders.
Okay, let's hope so.
But they go down courses, and they have to do like within a certain amount of time, obviously, and then they have to like do the obstacles and finish. And it's, you know, like the article I saw, it's like, dude, where is Netflix? Where is the American television stealing this? Like, hurry up, because we need our version.
Okay.
You know, but I did watch it on YouTube, and it's cool. Like, you know, these guys are going down a course, half like natural and then with some ramps and stuff like that. But they're trying to go at a certain speed to like, you know, I don't know if it's like you have to finish it at a certain speed, or, you know, if these guys finish faster than you, then the guys that finish, you know, slower get eliminated or whatever. So they're going fast. And some of them don't know how to judge, like, you know, you're going super fast, and all of a sudden there's like a box you need to ollie up on, but you're going like extremely fast.
Yeah.
So it's like, holy shit.
Going like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. And
like,
all of a sudden it just pops up out of nowhere and you can't do it, you know? So it kind of eliminates people. It was pretty entertaining, but there was one thing where it was like just a big swirl. So you go down a ramp and it goes like this. And at the very end of the ramp is a rail. So it goes from ramp to rail, and then everything's water. And then you got to grind the rail and then land on the platform.
Oh, great.
Right. And then going down the ramp like that, there's like sections where, and it tells you on the show, you know, like 25%, 50%, 75%, 85%. So like if you fall over here, you made it 50%.
Okay. Right.
You know? So if no one makes it.
Yeah. So progress.
The progress. Yeah. So, you know, I was watching, like, everyone was like, barely going down, flying off, going into the water. Some guys almost made it, 85%, whatever. And then all of a sudden, one guy makes it, and everyone's like just pumped. So like the guy comes down super fast, like 50-50 is the rail, and then jumps off and lands on the platform. It's like, he made it. So
right,
it's like super cool. You know, it's a super cool idea. And the reason I bring it up is, you know, obviously like other people are catching on to it, and it could be like a thing where like you might see it on Netflix pretty soon.
Right.
But just the fact that me and you actually talked about a couple shows ago about like the difference of Chinese or Asian television and American, because of like the TikToks. And like I said, like Andrew Schultz, the comedian, made up that fact, like that Asians only show educational stuff. Mm-hmm. But then they'll let us be like, hey, Tide Pods, you should eat these, and kids do that and then die. But like, so I've been sending you like Asian entertainment.
I know.
And like,
I roll my eyes every time too. I'm like, dude, Asia's a fucking huge place. This might not even have anything. I did look into some of those, by the way. They do have curfews and shit and some limitations on what they can do in China. So there's a lot. I mean, if you look at what they call them, dialects.
Yeah.
Different languages.
Yeah.
You could be in fucking anywhere in Asia, and you might not even if you speak fluent Mandarin, Chinese, whatever, you might not even know what the sign says.
Yeah.
In a place you live, because you're like, I have no idea what language that is.
But I'm just being
some
like,
of the shit you've sent me, I'm like, oh.
But that's what I'm saying.
See, what you sent me today?
Asian entertainment.
Oh my god, you should just put a link up on the podcast.
What was it?
The girl was giving the guy a handy while he was singing. I was like, what is this about? You can't see. There's nothing graphic on there, but there's clearly some. You know, she's behind him moving her arm, and you know what's going on. It's like.
So it was like singing, the guy was singing karaoke.
Yeah.
And I think you got to keep, it was basically, there's a show, I think, I want to say Kevin Hart, but it was probably someone else along those lines. Here in the States, I was like a karaoke, but they would scare you.
Yeah.
Like you're in a tank and you're singing the karaoke song, and they start like putting in tarantulas in there. So you have to like keep the pace of the song and how the song is. You can't like, your voice can't be cracking.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of the same. But then this one is like, you're getting sexual pleasure from a female and you're supposed to be singing the song, and I'm imagining you're supposed to sing it correctly.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, dude, that's not a bad show.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sign they me bring up. all the masseuses from abroad.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's pretty funny. But this one is one where I could see making it to the Netflix scene. And
I mean, it sounds pretty cool. There's enough people. I guess you could just even take intermediate level skateboarders that are trying shit.
Well, I think some of them were intermediate, the ones that were crashing.
Yeah.
And then they have the professionals. But I would like it more intermediate. And actually, I would like it like beginner intermediates. It just makes the courses a little bit easier.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was like, dude, I can do that. But then there was like a box you got to ollie onto. I'm like, yeah, I can't ollie onto that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, just put it down a course where you can just ride down the course and like do certain things.
Right.
I'm like, dude, that'd be cool to like do that. You know, and plus I don't want to see Ryan Scheckler, which is like one of the best skateboarders on that, because he's probably going to win.
Take himself out.
Win, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's not cool. You want to see guys.
Are these like wood boxes or are they padded or what?
No. Yeah. Wood. They're ramps.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're going down this like section down like a hill, and they were just like pushing, and you're like, nah, you kind of want to coast down that, because at the end of it, you got to jump onto one box and then jump from that box to another box and jump down. And these guys are going like 50 miles an hour, and they get to the first box and they're like, oh shit. And some guys made it on the first box, but then like they jumped so far onto the first box, they were going so fast that they couldn't jump onto the other one. So it was just stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, that's a pretty entertaining show. But you can't have professionals. You have to have the people crashing.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We'll see if we can make that a reality here. Sign me up.
I'll watch.
To the hand job karaoke.
Well, in that case, yeah. I'm going to start singing a little bit here.
Yeah. I think that's it. You got anything for us?
Nothing. This was heavily sports related, so let's leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good role.
Yeah. You want to jump into the business, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, we have that podcast still coming. We still need a name. Once we got the name, we got the show.
You down with SBP?
Yeah, you know me?
Yeah. There you go.
SBP.
Yeah.
Small Business Pod.
Yeah.
Pretty sure someone already has that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was looking at names the other day and I was, dude, I thought like it's some good ones. Then I like Google it. I'm like, yeah, someone already has it.
That's all right. I mean, there's plenty of shit that I've come across. Like, there's actually already, I got lucked out because like my photo company's Action Image Studio, you know, whatever. I was just coming up with a name that people are going to see it. They know what it's about. There's someone that does Action Image SNV, which is Southern Nevada. I'm like, well, they geographically cornered themselves. I'm good.
Well, I have one. I'll tell you off here, but it's basically what I wanted.
Yeah.
But then she put with in her name.
Oh, okay.
So blah, blah with Emily Rose or whatever, you know? So I'm like, is that good enough to where like we're only the first part?
Right.
And we didn't, because, you know, I thought of the name and I was like, that's sick. And then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, someone has it. But then everything that came up was like blah, blah with, and then the host's name.
Right.
So that's the entire name of the podcast, I believe. Right. It wouldn't just be the first.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think you're covered.
So we could especially probably still if do it.
The logo looks different, all that stuff, you're solid.
So that's what I'm thinking. So that might be it, but we'll see. So we need a name. Once we get the name, I'll be back after next week. We'll get Jones on the show here. Mace eventually back on the
right. Who?
Yeah,
the long lost legend.
We need a
Roger's more relevant than the co-host.
Yeah. Roger is very relevant right now. People are loving Roger.
That's funny.
So, yeah, that's what we got coming up. No show next week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to think of a new name.
Rate, subscribe, the other show. Comment.
Give us names for our business pod.
Yeah.
And we'll feature you on the first episode.
There it is.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. See ya in 2 weeks.
See ya.